Humanism, Ontology, and Contradiction panel. We have Jason Smith and Al Milchman, and then Bruno Gulli, who's not here right now at the moment, obviously. So, just gonna keep it brief. No intros or whatever, just you could just start with the paper.
Okay.
In the 20 minutes, and then
just let me know. So this is hopefully I won't go over 20 minutes. It's a sort of longer, a little slightly longer paper that I've sort of tried to sort of truncate into something that's both within the time frame and also at least like marginally relevant to the general context in which we're speaking. So I'll just begin. It's called Nancy Politics Communism, and I open with an epigraph. It's from a recent text called Democracy, Finite and Infinite. Quote, in this sense, the true name that democracy desires, the one it has in fact engendered and born as its horizon for some 150 years, is the name communism, end quote. Okay, for close to three decades, an important strand of Jean-Luc Nancy's work has been devoted to the fate of the term, that is to say, word, experience, historical orientation, or horizon, of communism. The word itself often appears in decisive places, whether it is a question of the, quote, communist exigency, unquote, pursued in the inoperative community as early as 1983, whether it is a question in La Comparution of communism as a, quote, ontological proposition, unquote, or whether more recently communism is posited as a, quote, fact, that is to say, before all else, we are in common, unquote. What is spelled out over the course of these three decades, then, is a paradoxical characterization of communism as a name, among others, such as being in common, and more simply, the common, for an ontological affirmation that is completely detached from any historically identifiable communist politics. This ontological inflection of communism, which asserts the exposition and circulation of the common as a movement that precedes and departs from what is commonly called society, that is to say, society divided or distributed into parts, shares of power, or calculable wealth, is even described here and there as mounting a certain resistance to politics, understood either as the mere management of social divisions or as a singular figure that summarizes, assumes, and gathers together in a single sovereign point of truth, the truth of a given community. The nature of the political must, Nancy has insisted since the early 1980s, be thought under the sign of its retrait, or withdrawal, no longer understood as giving a figure, identity, or destiny to the in common. It must also be distinguished, again, from any technocratic regulation of social divisions or parts. In the trajectory of Nancy's work, then, a certain discursive economy is announced. The withdrawal of the political is met with an increasing assertion of the actuality of communism, now thought as both an ontological spacing that, quote, puts existence in play, unquote, and as an event, a coming or a tendency, the tense relation of the common to itself and the tension of its partage, which is to say its sort of division or sharing out, both at the same time. When I speak here, then, of a communist politics that can be found in or constructed on the basis of Nancy's writings, I take for granted the by now classical and somewhat fragile distinction developed by Nancy in the early 1980s between la and le politique, between politics as a simple management of the play or conflict between forces, understood as blocks, interests, distributions of power, and the political, understood as the site where what is given in common is understood as the site where what is given in common is offered or poses itself as a question. In this initial formulation, it is possible to argue that what is at stake in this distinction is a divergence or even conflict between two types of force, between power as what is at stake in politics and being in common or community as the resistance of the communal thing to either its reduction to a substance or sum to be divided and exchanged, or to any subsumption of the community under the political, which would be its truth. In this sense, the ontological force of the commons is located in their resistance, the force it manifests, is, and exercises, to politics and to power. However, Nancy's more recent work on democracy over the past decade, a set of texts that increasingly imbricate democracy and communism in ways that will have to be articulated here, and I don't do that in the parts of the paper I'll read, have developed a more overdetermined concept of the political, understood as distinct and separate from the common, that is, not only a resistance to power, but also as the exercise of a certain type of power or force. In the text, The Senses of Democracy, Nancy writes that this exercise of force is indissociable from a certain demand for justice. In this text, as was the case in his original reflections on the distinction between le and la politique, the political is here neither, quote, responsible for the identity and destiny of the common, unquote, nor for the simple management and distribution of social forces. And yet it is responsible for, quote, the regulation, even if it is infinite, of justice, and therefore it has to do with power, unquote. At the close of a contemporary text, Is Everything Political? This is around 2000 when this text was published, in a journal called Axial Marx. Nancy once again underlines that the political is the name for a, quote, exigency to regulate power, the force that must sustain this non-organic unity, or excuse me, this non-organic non-unity in common, according to an incommensurable justice. This deployment of force in the name of justice, in the name of what cannot be exchanged, and therefore only shared, remains enigmatic. If the common, or communism, has to do with sense, as Nancy puts it, and the putting into play of existence, a politics oriented towards such a justice is said simply and indeterminately to, quote, have to do with power. In what sense exactly? The exact nature of the power exercised by a politics that I want to call communist politics that, as an exercise of power in the name of justice and as the force necessary to deliver the common to itself, potentially eludes or renders obsolete the distinction between le and la politique. And for this reason, I'll from now on just use politics and the political interchangeably. And which is nothing less than a contradictio in adjecto if one stays close to the letter of Nancy's own formulations. In other words, Nancy would never propose something like a communist politics if that isn't clear at this point. Because for Nancy, it's absolutely necessary as at least an initial moment of articulation to separate an ontology of the common or of communism from a certain idea of the political. But then I want to try to demonstrate on the basis of a few passages that that are enigmatic, I guess, or ambiguous, how one can re-articulate this passage between the political and this notion of the ontology of the common, or what he just calls communism, in a kind of strategic paleonymic move, as much as anything. The exact nature of the power exercised by a politics that I want to call, in The Truth of Democracy, another text from the last 10 years, Nancy multiplies formulations that sketch out a possibility he himself does not draw. On the one hand, what is at stake in the common is the exposition or presentation of the infinite or the incalculable. The sight of this, quote, bursting forth, éclaté is the word, or this dazzling appearance, this fragmentary trace. This term éclaté has a sense of fragmentation as well as to shine forth or to appear in a kind of sense of kind of dazzling apparition or something like this. The sight of this bursting forth of the infinite is not localized and advanced. It can occur, as Nancy indicates, in a series of places throughout the text, in the sights of art, love, friendship, thought, knowledge, and emotion. It can be, quote, existential, artistic, literary, dreamy, amorous, thoughtful, leisurely, playful, friendly, gastronomic, urban, and so on, unquote. It can occur, in other words, literally anywhere but the political. The political is not, therefore, one site among others for the sharing out of the common. This is the nature of the political's distinction, to use a qualifier that Nancy places pressure on, emphasizing at once a separation and a singularity, a dignity or elevation, even a certain sovereignty. The political is a site for the intersection or rubbing together of these places, what holds them together while spreading them apart. The political is the partage, again, the sense of a kind of articulation as well as a division or a kind of separation, is the partage of the common, its distribution into a multiplicity of sites that only take place with a coming into its own of the common, as well as the circulation between these places. Earlier, I cited the conclusion to everything, is everything political, when Nancy explicitly identified the political with a force, namely the force necessary to sustain this non-organic non-unity between the sites where the infinite or an incalculable value can surge up and be shared. Nancy remains circumspect, however, about the exact nature of this force. The task of the political, he says, is to, quote, prepare the space for, unquote, an affirmation of the incommensurable, even as this affirmation is, properly speaking, not political. It would be possible to, quote, make possible, excuse me, it would be to, this is speaking of the task of the political, it would be to, quote, make possible, maintain an opening for, assure conditions of access to, and, quote, guarantee the existence of such an affirmation, or better, its pure and simple possibility. Does such a force, then, which must refrain from taking responsibility for these events of the common, merely protect or defend, and the terms that Nancy uses are assure and guarantee, a set of possibilities and spaces that, moreover, do not exist apart from the events that give rise to them? Or does this force, to the contrary, not simply hold open these spaces, maintain them, that is to say keep them open, but also keep them up, but also assume the task of forcing them open? Such is the question. We know that for Nancy, community, as opposed to society, has been defined in part by the sharing, as the partaking or partitions constituting it, and these partitions are irreducible to a distribution of social forces or to the relations of force between social groups. Irreducible, then, to any illegible configuration of class conflict, even if this irreducibility by no means precludes a struggle between classes, but is instead the latter's condition. It is a matter of situating the question of communism at a different level. Whether this is appropriate is another question, but this is, I'm simply trying to unpack the logic of the sort of movement of Nancy's thought around the question of communism. And we know that Nancy's idea of communism, which is precisely not an idea or hypothesis, but is a fact on the one hand and an exigency on the other, can in no way be understood as the antagonistic, real movement that destroys the existing things of Marx, this is existing state of things as Marx and Engels famously defined it. Yet the question may be asked, hasn't the history of modern politics, which is to say from at least the 16th or 17th century and its civil and religious wars, had as its horizon or driving force the suppression of the common and of communism? Hasn't the history of the political and its modern configuration been constituted as well as the suppression of the political itself, reducing it either to the management and balancing of measurable forces or elevating it to a figuration, figuration of the common? Or put less naively, wouldn't the very necessity that there be politics, understood as the exercise of the force necessary to hold together the common in its untotalizable reticulation, imply some form of politics that would strategically articulate itself with all that requires, and I quote a passage from Nancy, certain actions, operations, and struggles, certain forms that allow one to rigorously maintain, unquote, the spaces of the common. So now I sort of shift ahead a bit, quite a bit actually. From the text collected in Retreating the Political, so a set of texts from the very early 80s, to his most recent text on democracy, Nancy makes specific reference to the young Marx's critique of Hegel's philosophy of right, where Marx distinguishes democracy in its formal and republican determination, in which power, localized in the state, is set off over and against society as a separate instance, to a material democracy, in which the state, or power as such, is absorbed into the social substance itself, so that it can, quote, and this is a quotation of Marx, materially penetrate the remaining non-political spheres, unquote. And Nancy quotes this one half sentence like 50 times over the course of 30 years. The condition for this movement is the collapse or foundering of the, quote, political state, a movement whose precise contours and conflictual moments will be developed by the inheritors of Marx for a century to come. Such a movement, in which the political both disappears, that is to say, is destroyed along with the class structure of bourgeois society, or merely withers away at the tail end of a revolutionary process. Such a movement in which the political both disappears only in order to insinuate itself everywhere, lurking in every cranny and niche of the social and everyday life, investing every action, gesture, and word. The questions of gender, lifestyle, economic decisions, aesthetic orientations, and so on, with a political significance, is what Nancy argues is no longer historically possible after the collapse of real existing socialism. Yet he underlines the necessity of a certain disappearance or withdrawal of the political as a condition for thinking or for laying bare the being of the uncommon and the obscure exigency of communism. Quote, can we think and practice the disappearance of the political otherwise? That is, in the wake, and even fidelity to, the Marxist and Leninist demand for an abolition of the state and the political altogether. It is the political understood as the self-mediation of a common substance, he says, that must, and this must is both an historical and an ontological exigency, disappear, withdraw, or collapse. It withdraws, though, not in order to be absorbed or in order to penetrate all other spheres. Its withdrawal is the condition, Nancy underlines, for, quote, better distinguishing itself otherwise, unquote. And this distinction, this elevation, exceptionality, and even sovereignty, sets the political off against these other spheres. So in other words, you have the question of a sort of open-ended sequence of possible spheres in which the common can articulate itself. The common here understood as a kind of a figure of the actual infinite, and in Nancy's work, in which sometimes takes the form or assumes the name of a kind of incalculable value, or the incommensurable, that is to say, the unmediatable, if you like, or that which doesn't allow itself to be measured in some way. These are all terms which sort of constellate around a certain idea of notion of value as a kind of infinite value. So you have on the one hand an open-ended series of a non-finite series of possible sites for the common to appear or to surge up or to burst forth, éclaté is the word, on the one hand, and then you have this kind of exceptional site of the political, which seems to be, on the one hand, a place where the common cannot appear, and therefore that's the sort of ground of its exceptionality. That is to say that the political becomes the kind of place where all the other sites are articulated, and therefore in which the common can circulate among these sites. So it's a kind of, he's trying to sort of relocate exactly what the site and the kind of material force of the political is in the sort of aftermath of a certain idea of the political, which he associates with, in a certain sense, these two determinations of democracy that Marx develops in the Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, the sort of technocratic, formal idea of democracy, which is just a management of social places or forces, and this more, so to say, philosophical assumption of the political as that which gives an orientation, horizon, truth to this kind of common substance. Okay. And now this new separation of the political, this distinction, is not the privileging or valuing of the political over the spheres of law, ethics, aesthetics, and any other sphere in which a common can happen and be shared out. But the political is nothing, to echo a Bataille formulation that Nancy often cites, that is to say, sovereignty is nothing. That is to say, the political is not one sphere among others, and this is the sign of its sovereign position, a point of exception that guarantees the articulation or the sharing out of the common into incommensurable spheres. So it functions almost as a kind of, not exactly mediation, but a way of gathering together while maintaining a certain kind of distribution of these common sites, which again are kind of, can take the form of, on the one hand, art, love, kind of classical Hegelian figures, but also gastronomy, the urban, terms that less important for Hegel. Okay, now this, final quote here. And in this case, polis, or the political, designates precisely this element distinct from any other, and therefore separate, that is nothing other than the in common and the comparing of all the rest. So in a certain sense, the polis or the political comes to sort of name a kind of point of exception from the totality of all the other possible spheres in which the common can appear and can appear together, compeer. Now, this post-Marxist and post-Leninist communist politics then proposes a political configuration that neither impregnates all the rest of the non-political spheres nor absorbs or collects them into a single figure. All the rest, tout le reste, here refers not to a totality organized around a fundamental contradiction or stretched between antagonistic poles, but a detotalized configuration in which the common is not a single substance, but incommensurable value. Incommensurable is what cannot be measured out, cannot be distributed justly, but can only be shared. Now, this sharing out is not at all the participation of these spheres in a single substance or whole. Sharing means just as much division, separation, even conflict, partition, or bursting apart, as Nancy often signals with the use of the term éclat, or éclaté. The common is shared, and the political is what makes possible, or opens, defends, and clears the way for the sharing out, in which the common is both separated from itself and from any figure of the self. The common is shared out between sites and areas whose edges are reconfigured with each eruption of sense. These are the places where the incommensurable is formed or presented, Nancy says, which is to say, where it bursts forth, shatters, shines forth, and a coming that shatters what comes. Nancy's conception of politics is founded on the axiom, then, not everything is political. The whole is multiple, singular plural, and therefore not a whole. It is the gathering together, the articulation without synthesis, of the plural sites of the inscription of the infinite in act. Now, in this relatively early account of the relationship between this distinction of the political, I'm referring to a text from 1990, so relatively early in this sort of 30-year history that I'm trying to describe. In this relatively early account of the relationship between the distinction of the political and the ontology of the sharing of the common, the question of force and the indissociable questions of conflict, antagonism, or even the negative as such remain held in suspense and unaddressed. One of the most unusual elements of Nancy's conception of the political and of communism as a demand or an exacting exigency is the way in which a political process, or the political as an operation of opening up the spaces necessary for the surging up of sense, is rarely characterized in what we might call insurrectionary terms. By insurrection, I do not refer to any recognizable figures of political action, such as the seizure of the state apparatus by a determined social force, or the occupation of factories, say, by an exploited class. I refer more obliquely to the way Nancy has consistently qualified, and in particular in his short book on Hegel, sense, incommensurable value, or the infinite as that which can only erupt or surge up. And the word he uses oftentimes is surgissement, which is the same word where we get, for example, insurgency or so on and so forth. Let us say an uprising or even an insurgent force that would seem to require a certain gathering or concentration of force in order to break with a given regime of sense. Nancy has repeatedly underlined the way in which conflictuality and even class antagonism must be thought from the perspective of a prior sharing and partition of the common, underlying both the way in which this sharing is the condition of possibility of such conflict, while also locating a certain dynamics of separation, breaking or tearing up in the experience or the trial, épreuve, of the common. Probably 5 minutes. Now, this internal conflictual dynamic, posed as a preliminary condition for the more recognizable figures of political or social antagonism, is rarely characterized by Nancy as turned outward. That is, conflict understood in terms of a strategic task of overcoming, deposing, or transforming a given situation in view of a posited end, or the confrontation, in Schmitt's sense, with an enemy. It is precisely such classical figures of the political politics that have been laid bare, again, this is the kind of term that Nancy quite often uses mise à nu, and once disqualified and given back over to themselves and to their sense. And now, when politics is characterized as an exercise of force, the force necessary to hold together the torn coherence of the common and to hold open the spaces of the common and the paths of circulation, it's most often posed as a task that would somehow force open or simply guarantee access to the common, and that would, quote, permit the opening of spheres which are by rights foreign to it, and which are, for their part, the spheres of truth or sense, those that are designated more or less well by the names art, thought, love, desire, and all the other possible designations for the relation to infinity, to cite still another text, a recent text on democracy. This preparatory task of politics, a politics that, quote, prepares the space for a non-equivalent affirmation, unquote, is nevertheless, in brief passages, also described as a dislodging not merely of a given class enemy, or even an entire mode of production based on the extraction of surplus labor, but an entire, quote, civilization founded on calculation and equivalence. And that's here called, and here and elsewhere called, capital, understood not as a form of society or a mode of production, but indeed as a civilization founded on a certain concept of value as equivalence. Now, the communist exigency, therefore, calls for a work, as he puts it, that puts in common the unexchangeable and the sharing out of the incalculable, which is thus, strictly speaking, unshareable. And this worker practice, quote, exceeds politics. In a decisive passage near the close of The Truth of Democracy, the very same passage cited earlier that identified politics with a radical anarchy and a certain and certain actions, operations, and struggles that must foil or even depose any deposited, posited, or any imposed arche, Nancy underlines that what is at stake in a properly communist politics, if you'll permit me this forcing of things, is a certain praxis, quote unquote, that dislodges the very foundation of general equivalence. That is, one of the same text he calls capital or simply capitalism, with no distinction between the two. This praxis, Nancy underlines, quote, is the only one coming before any reform, any reformatting, any risk management that might engage something more than a contestation and more than a revolt, namely the dislodging of the very foundation of general equivalence. I'll just read the one last, it'll take me one more minute. What sort of actions, operations, and struggles would be capable of deposing or dislodging capitalism? This is what is at stake in Jean-Luc Nancy's conception of what can be called a practice of communism, a practice that both affirms the fact of communism and takes responsibility for opening spaces and paths for its coming. Such a practice of forcing open spaces for being common to appear to itself, or rather to appear before itself and as itself, in multiple births, and in eruptions that will never be inscribed within or come to found institutions, is also and identified by Nancy with, quote, an incommensurable justice, unquote. The political is precisely this, quote, the exercise of power in view of an incommensurable justice. That is the place for claiming an infinity of being man and being world. And again, politics is not responsible for the identity and destiny of the common, but only for the regulation, even if it is infinite, of justice. It therefore has to do with power. The common, however, puts existence into play. It thus has to do with sense. Thus, politics is therefore the exercise of force in view of a justice that is incommensurable, the condition of which is nothing less than the dislodging and deposing of an entire civilization founded on the figure of value as equivalence and measure. This deposing is something more than a revolt, to quote Nancy, because in the first place, it is something more than the simple replacement of one way of producing value with another. It is more than a revolt because it is a practice, a process of communization, the placing in common of what is unshareable, and therefore can only be shared out, that lets justice happen by opening and maintaining rigorously and with force the spaces where it can appear. Justice is the other name of communism. It is not the just distribution of calculable value, it is the affirmation of the incommensurability of the common with itself. It will take something more than a revolt to prepare the ways and the means for the coming of this justice. And that's it.